Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we're talking about personality tests, like the Myers-Briggs. Are they legit? Is there any real science behind them, or is it all just a big scam to grab your money? But first, we're talking about lost sleep, as well as some crazy new science on tossing a coin.
Crazy new science on tossing a coin.
It'll blow your mind.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I thought you were just being science communicator. No, Fox News.
I only speak the truth.
Make it Fox News.
It's crazy new research about skipping a
Oh my god, skipping a stone.
What? Whoa, my brain's off.
Sometimes when I throw a stone, I'm like, I'm gonna be able to do this so well, and then it's just like bloop. And you're like, oh.
No, it's crazy for me. Sometimes I'm like, wow, did I just beat the world record and no one watched? Every time I skip a stone, I'm like, yeah, 32. Did someone catch 32? And then sometimes I do it
like
and I'm literally like...
I'd like to introduce everyone to the biggest exaggerator in the world, first of all.
Okay, that's so mean. I have problems. It's because my parents never praised me, and so I had to exaggerate in order to get some sort of reaction, but it never came. Mom and Dad, if you're listening, yes, I'm still driving.
No, because then they were like, well, our kid's always lying. We can't just like praise him when he's constantly
lying.
Well,
it was like, well, which came first? Probably the lack of praise, because I was goo goo gaga, and then this happened. Yeah, every single thing I say, but not a ASAP science stats, because people are going to be like, so you're a liar. But it's like, in general, take 10% off like what I say.
And it's not necessarily 10% off. Like, if Greg's trying to make
oh
a point,
God,
if Greg's trying to make a point that something's a lot, you need to take it off. But if he's trying to make a point that something's a little, you have to add to it. You know what I mean? There's like a give or take.
You're
on the
so annoying. I'm like, just
oh,
dragging
it's
me
just
so
mental
hard.
Calculation I always have to do. I'm like, okay, so what does he actually mean? There was 500 people or was there 50?
No. If I say there's 500 people, there was probably, I mean, that's an interesting number. There's probably like 310.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Actually, yeah. No, there might be 200. But like 200 people looks like 500 people.
Yeah, that is a weird number
and
to like
clock. It depends on the context. If it's like, it was crazy because it was our friend's band. I'm trying to be like, look, they're doing so well. There was 500 people. And then you're like, no, yeah, there wasn't. And
sometimes
was like, okay,
it's
fine.
Noble. You're right.
Yeah, I'm usually trying to help out. I was dragged. So I started looking for a new therapist. How do you know when you need a new therapist? I'm like so in love with my current therapist to the point that it's like, hey, girl, we like get on. And I'm just like, wait, was that therapy or was that like
just the hangout session?
Yeah,
with my friend.
And I'm like making her laugh and I'm like, okay, am I entertaining you? Which might be me problem, but it's just like so slay. that then I'm like, I think I need to be challenged. And I was. I went to a therapist and he read
like you tried someone new.
Filth.
Really?
Well, first, I never wanted a male therapist because like, duh.
That's terrifying. Like, actually, I had one, but he was gay. That's the only acceptable way.
So half of a woman.
No, I didn't mean that, but I just mean at least like...
He was gay, so he was half woman. No, not true. Sometimes gay men, it's like, are you the worst type of man? Okay, anyway. Okay. But I was like, okay, like read the history books. I obviously don't want a male therapist. And then I went, so I decided to go to this therapist named Morgan, showed up, it's a man. It was like the most shocking thing I've ever seen. I was like, you're...
That's like a really good, Morgan. Like, what do you say, a name that can go either way.
Yeah.
Because I would probably think girl first, but there are a lot of guys named Morgan.
No, there's like that famous...
Morgan Wallen.
Morgan Wallen. I'm like, isn't he like the prototypical man? He's a country singer who's like racist and like sings about girls. It's like...
Okay, is he the racist one?
Yeah, well, you know, he said some inappropriate
things. Okay, but he's not the one who's like trying to rally the old
Yeah, I know. With country music, yeah, okay, there are some.
That's
that
what
are
I mean. There's some that are like, yeah, let's storm
like,
the Capitol.
Oh, we're actually going to capitalize on being racist. No, he has said inappropriate
like
things.
Like in his past.
Yeah, no, he's
but
not.
But he's not trying to like, yeah, okay.
Oh my God. True, okay.
That's he's so
less,
sad.
He's less racist than that.
All
guy,
the other ones.
The like tried in a small town guy.
Yeah, the, okay, that's not him. Okay.
The song is a bop. I'm kidding. Do not stream it. Anyway, so his name's Morgan. Shocking. And I was like, well, this is going to be the worst therapy. He read me so hard.
Imagine he was just homophobic. He's like, you little bitch. Yeah. You're such a disappointment.
No, it was just like, he was just like, you really are. Like, I don't even want to talk about it. It was too much. It was just like, yeah, that's exactly my issue. But he like just knew it off the bat.
But what was the experience in general like going to somebody new? Like after... And
well,
I'm
the fact
you're
that
staying
I
with
found out it was a man, I was like, well, I'm going to look at him fucking rudely and be like, well, this is the one
like
time.
Test him actually. Like, not like, give him any grace.
I gave him no grace. In fact, the fact that he read me so hard was like, wait, because I wasn't even being myself. wait, what was your question? Because I can't even think about it.
Oh, that
panicking.
The experience of like, I was going to say, it's. I assume you're going to still go to your regular therapist. It's not like you're leaving them.
I don't know.
But what was it like going to somebody new?
Oh, general? It was so scary. Also, we will get into the podcast, y'all. I know you're like, where's all the Myers-Briggs test? Well, this guy personality
no
tested
one's saying
me
that.
Okay, fine. Because it's just like such an intense conversation that's so not related. But the experience was nerve-wracking, fun, but it was freaking weird. Like, he was weird. Like, it was
like
weird
to meet someone.
It's weird.
It's like a blind date.
Yeah.
And then when they're psychoanalyzing you and don't have feminine energy, because feminine energy is like welcoming and comforting. Like, every therapist I've had that's been a woman, at least I'm obviously generalizing, but in my experience, at least they're like warmly welcomed and you feel safe. And
yeah. Friendly. Yeah. There was no like white noise.
It's like sit down.
Yeah. It was like literally like sit down. The door was left open. I'm like, so is anyone coming? Because that's illegal. Like I was told that's illegal. And then he also said the most insane thing that's coming back to me now that I'm like, wait, and everyone's going to be like,
he went, so you're a fag?
No, he was like, yeah, so you're a faggot, eh? And I was like, whoa, he knows me. No, he was like, oh, we're going to use this room because I think one of my clients peed on the chair in the other room. And I was just like, okay, odd start. Like you know what I mean? Like you maybe didn't
have
to
tell
say
me
that.
Yeah.
And then he was like, imagine first session you're sitting and pee. And I was like, okay, buddy.
Did he say that?
Yeah. And I was like, Morgan.
And also, what if you saw his last client?
It was like, yeah.
He shouldn't say that.
Annie took a phone call loudly before we started, and the fact that it was a man, I was literally texting.
I'm like, is it bad you're saying his name?
Oh my God. No, there's 1,000 Morgan therapists in this male therapist in Toronto, I'm sure. But yeah, then like it got better. And the first activity was he was like, so aliens are looking down at Earth and they don't understand the emotion of anger. How would you describe anger to the alien? And I was kind of like, okay, fine, an activity off the top.
Yeah, that's fine.
But then I was like, I don't know. I was like, kind of just like gave really bad answers. I was like, I don't really have a strong relationship with anger. And he was like, I know. And I was like, whoa, like, okay, male therapists are intense.
He's confident.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, should we move on?
Yeah, that was a lot.
No, that's very, very, very interesting. I'm glad you're trying new things, which I never do.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, so, no, you talk. I feel like I've just talked a lot.
Okay, I'm about to tell you mind-blowing science about flipping a coin.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not joking.
Okay.
There's a new study that came out and proved flipping a coin is not a 50-50 chance. What?
Okay, sorry. I'll do it again more.
What? That doesn't make any sense. Because there's one side and there's another side. Okay,
so now I'm going to explain. So they looked at 350,000 coin tosses.
Oh my God, one side weighs more.
Wait. This is over 46 countries' currencies. So it wasn't just like, you know, Canadian coins.
It wasn't just a toonie here in Canada.
They realized that the tosser introduces a bias into the coin toss.
Wow. Also, and isn't tosser a British name for a gay person?
Oh, maybe.
Oh, you're being a tosser. Or is just it? A bad person.
I just know a anyways, poof.
A poof. But tosser is just, we need to remember that for when we make fun of people. Tosser.
You tosser.
Yeah, like, oh, I was being a tosser. Continue. So the tosser.
So the person who's flipping the coin, flipper, they realized the coin is more likely to land on the side the same way it started.
What?
Based on, so obviously the coin is not necessarily the problem, but when you have somebody flipping a coin.
Oh, the way your thumb kind
of
like.
And it was like different people had different amount of bias. Some didn't have this, but on average, like people would introduce what they called a wobble. And the wobble would make it a little more likely to turn up. So if tails was up when they were throwing it, a wobble. Did you feel
the
that wobble,
fucking wobble made you turn up?
Do you remember that? Yeah. Did you feel that fucking wobble?
Lohanthony, we love you. Did you feel that fucking wobble?
Okay. So
the wobble made the turn up.
It made it stay the same side. They call it the same side bias. So weird. If tails was facing up when they saw, like when they started, it was most likely to be tails.
That's
up.
So not fair.
But obviously, the effect's not huge, but it was 51% of the time it came to this. It was more likely to be that upside remained up. Wow. And I know 1% doesn't seem a lot, but when you're doing hundreds of thousands, they were like, this was a more significant odd than like a lot of gambling games that you would play at a casino.
Wow.
Which is like, so it's significant enough that if you're just going to toss a coin once between two people, you're probably going to have a pretty close to even chance. But if you're a betting person, you would choose the side that you can see facing you first.
So I randomly just read an article about a tosser. Like literally.
Like a gay person?
It was not a gay person, which I don't even know if that's a gay
person.
What's
a tosser?
I don't know, but I think it's a derogatory term. Like, it doesn't necessarily, not all derogatory terms are related to, like, a gay guy, but a lot are. But, okay, it was, like, some guy who is involved with the new Netflix dinosaur / like, Life on Earth series that I really want to watch, which we should watch. And it was like a New York article, so there's obviously so much information. And they said that at one point he was doing a bunch of research in this like remote area, and he was actually like kidnapped, but not in like a serious way. And then
just in like a
it was very like fun little kidnapping. Like the way it was described was like, okay. And he was so bored that he like actually was like, I'm gonna flip a coin 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And see what the results are. Mm-hmm. And he was so frustrated because it ended up being what you said, 49-51 to one side.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was like, it was funny. Like, he didn't get 50-50. And remember, he was like, I'm pissed. And then he, like, escaped his like, fun kidnapper. Like, it was like, you didn't really explain that well. But anyways, so it's like the last thing I've heard about a tosser was literally that stat.
It's a similar thing. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Okay, so my What I learned this week relates to another thing involved with my therapy, which was that this is my advice to everyone who pays for therapy. Don't sleep the night before, and then you'll have the best therapy session of your life, because it happened to me once.
I feel like you've said this before. Yeah.
I truly cried, and we got
to be emotionally vulnerable.
We got through like 2 years of therapy in like 1 hour, and she was just like, it's just like, don't sleep. And then this is a study about why. So sleep loss makes you unable to monitor your emotions.
Mm-hmm. I can feel that for sure.
Yeah. So they did a study on healthy volunteers, deprive them of one night's sleep, and then they use fMRIs, and they actually found that their prefrontal cortex and amygdala like activity dropped drastically. Mm-hmm. And those parts of your brain help you control your emotions. They also found that like it blurs people's idea of what's emotional and what's not. So they'll show people images, like neutral images and emotional pictures. And then I just think it's funny. They're like, the bland image was like a commuter on a train versus photographs of children crying. I was just like, that is so intense.
Because I feel like a commuter on a train could bring up some triggering emotions.
Yeah. I also like looking out the window on a rainy train. Like, isn't that like the typical emotional scene in like any movie? But obviously, no. This is like a random, like
extremely
picture, like bad lighting and like overhead lighting. And it's like, okay, that's not emotional. Okay. But anyways, the fMRI revealed that the amygdala responded differently to these prompts when people were well rested or not. Mm. And after they had a like lost a night of sleep, they would be like, they would react emotionally to both.
Oh my
and
god.
So it's like whereas other people would be like, yeah, no, the child crying is way more emotional sadder, than like yeah. the people who hadn't slept were like, I don't know, maybe the person on the train's like wife just died. And it's like, whoa.
Honestly, if I have like half an hour less sleep than I normally get, it's like game over for the whole day.
Yeah, yeah. And you also like my thing is exaggerating. Your thing is if one thing's a little wrong, you're like, well, everything's gone to shit.
But it's not
like,
an exaggeration.
And then you're like, well, we have tomorrow. And it's like, well, it's actually 1 p.m. Maybe we could turn it around today. You're like, no, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
We're fucked.
Well, I've just learned. I'm like, sometimes the only thing that can solve this is a better night.
Yeah,
of
but
sleep.
It's like hilarious. You'll like give up on the day at like 1 and then you'll be like, well, today's the worst. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, like we could, you know, spin this baby around. So, anyways, impaired emotional control makes us more vulnerable to anxiety and poor mood. And like, yeah, they just found that, like, obviously, if you don't. This was like, you know, not losing half an hour of sleep.
Yeah,
this
was like they literally
depriving
sleep
healthy volunteers of full night's sleep. But I was like, that is interesting to me. And I had a real life.
Yeah, sleep is so important to like feel good and happy.
Yeah. But then I'm like.
And quality sleep. Like sometimes you don't even know if you're just like even getting, say, a good 8 hours, you could be like tossing and turning.
Yeah. So I'm like, as a tosser, I'm thinking about this in the opposite way, which was like, how can you, or maybe I'm just like a tech bro, but like, how can you optimize this? Cause it's like, sometimes you want to be emotional.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Like use it for therapy.
Like I know that I use it for therapy is like a bit of a, did you know in the Britney Spears book, she stayed up all night before recording Oops, I Did It Again, because she wanted like, she'd been listening to like, I forget that it was like some sort of 80s music that was very like solemn. Mm-hmm. And like, she wanted her voice to be like crackly and
whoa.
Mature. And so she like went to Max Martin in Sweden with no night's sleep. And what was created? What art.
If, yeah.
And I also am reading this. Wow. Guys, don't sleep. I'm reading that like Rick Rubin book. It's so good. And he said that they'll sometimes, yeah, like, some musicians will come into a recording session sleep deprived so that they're in a dreamlike state so they can tap in
to, like
to
that
an
emotional
place.
Yeah, no, that is interesting.
Like, it's not bad to be emotional, especially if you're like me and you're dead inside.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like a line for some people of like, if you're too sad, you can't.
Yes. Okay.
You
yeah.
You know, like if you're like not in a good place.
This is for Britney Spears, who's like, knives and dancing. You're right. If you're like depressed, you don't want to
you're
do
not
this.
Gonna
but if you're someone
art,
like me who's like
just needs a little bit of like an emotional kick.
Yeah. And the only time I can cry is if someone's like slaughtered in a movie.
Okay. All right, shall we take a little break?
Yeah, was that a weird thing to say? Continue.
You need to keep going to therapy. Anyway, we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass, which has helped us become honestly better science communicators after taking the Masterclass by Neil deGrasse Tyson on scientific thinking and communication. It was so awesome to have someone like Neil, first name basis, we met him once, teach us about scientific communication and thinking. It's really informed how we do this podcast and also how we do our YouTube channel, etc. Masterclass makes a meaningful gift this season for you and anyone on your list because both of you can learn from the best to become your best. From leadership to effective communication to even cooking, which is another one I'm really enjoying. Whether you're watching Masterclass on TV, listening in the audio mode, in the app, or on their site, the quality speaks for itself. There's over 180 classes to pick from with new classes added every month, like Ron Finley's on gardening, which really helped me this fall. It taught me that I shouldn't be raking as much as I need to, which was really awesome. This holiday season, give one annual membership and get one free at masterclass.com/sidenote. Right now, you can get two memberships for the price of one at masterclass.com/sidenote. Offer terms may apply.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Okay, time to psychoanalyze our personalities.
Have you ever done this in like a work setting or a school? Okay, we're talking about the Myers-Briggs test. Mostly.
Oh, I'm going to talk about other ones as well. But wow. Myers-Briggs is easily the most famous personality test, I think, to the average person.
It's a self-reported questionnaire, and it attempts to assign value to your life, I guess. And it's based on introversion versus extroversion, sensing or intuition, thinking or feeling, judging or perceiving. But like the test is actually complicated, but you end up with like, it's around those emotions.
Yeah, I've actually never... Maybe when I was younger, I like took a handful of
personality
tests.
I did one in grade 8 and they were like, you're blue.
Oh, there is one that's colors.
Oh.
Yeah, there's like a famous one that like you, like being blue is like one of the main ones.
Yeah, I remember thinking like, wait, everyone's blue. This is so like, I remember being like, yeah, we're all blue because we're kids. But.
I wonder why blue is so many people's favorite color. We gotta look up that.
Yeah.
It was mine when I was young.
Because it's like, well, maybe it's like a boy thing because we're all so basic. And they're like, boys for blue and everyone loves masculinity. So they're
yeah,
like,
you're right.
If you say pink, everyone's like, oh, faggot. It's like, well, no, it's a color. Like, let's relax.
Okay, let's pause for a sec because I wanted to just say the personality test industry.
That was a side note.
The personality test industry is worth $2 billion.
What?
So this is because a lot of companies use these tests and pay for them. Like, a lot of these tests are not free. Of course, there's free personality tests online, but a lot of the big ones like Myers-Briggs cost like $15 to $40 for an individual to take. And a lot of companies
use these
to manage like, just like understanding their employees better, or sometimes even like choosing who should get which positions because they believe it can help them understand their employees in a way that they maybe can't in an interview.
$40 for a survey? Goddamn. Mm-hmm. Like people, like, I'm just like, you paying that? You're dumb.
And in general, these kind of personality tests were developed after World War I because the American military wanted to screen soldiers for quote-unquote weak constitutions.
Whoa.
Who might be more susceptible to shell shock. So they were trying to like understand who were like the mask.
Who's
man.
Gonna be able to deal with like shrapnel obliterating beside them? It's like I think like no human is gonna be great at that. And if they are, maybe they have the psychological problem.
But since then, it's like boomed in popularity, especially in the 90s and 2000s. But you know, even since like the earlier 1900s, it was like becoming a field where sometimes psychologists, sometimes just random people were like making these personality tests based on their own intuitions on what they thought was important.
$50 a pop.
Some are a lot more. Like you can get like comprehensive ones.
It really does tap into the psychology of how everyone's like narcissistic and just wants to know about themselves. Like it does make sense.
Well, see, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to know more about yourself.
I know that we had a flipper live right here in front of us, flipping back and forth.
I'm like, so I'm an ISTP. I don't know. I'm an HTTP. I think, like therapy, sometimes talking through these kinds of ideas out loud can allow you to self-reflect in a very interesting way, especially when done with somebody else.
And
so
the Myers-Briggs ones are based around Carl Jung. You know, that
Jungian.
Famous Jungian.
I actually don't know like anything about that.
Yeah, but he thought that people experience the world through four principal psychological functions like sensation, intuition, feeling, and thinking. So that's why like the four categories are like linked to that.
Okay.
But yeah, Carl Jung, I get how some people would be like, I was reading in Carl Jung because it feels like smart.
Like smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know which one you are?
I actually don't. And I think people have clocked me before. Like I know
they're like, oh, you're ISTJ.
Literally. People have said things like that to me. ISTJ, ENFP. My younger brother used to be super into Myers-Briggs.
super into like, my, what do you mean? What does that mean?
I don't know. And he would always be like, yeah, you're probably this. I never knew.
Is
like,
there like a culture around this?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
That's, there's truly what? Like, there's probably people upset right now if we're going to talk badly about it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But.
So like.
Because it's a little bit
is
like.
Is it like Swifty vibes? Like if I say something bad, like no. We're bad. No.
I mean, Swifty owns listening. The world right now.
Yeah. There was a time when in 1972 when Myers-Briggs was the Taylor Swift of their time.
I think it's a little more like astrology, right? Like people gotcha. Connect deeply and some people find it like incredibly meaningful to understand.
Oh my God, it's definitely astrology for men. Okay, wow. I always just speak in such and absolutes. But you know what I mean? Like I feel like, you know, the cool part about astrology is it's like in general, it's a little queer. It's a little blind. It does tell you about yourself. Whereas like men are like, well, look at the data.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, there actually isn't that much.
Yeah. Should we just jump into specifically how legit is Myers-Briggs?
Yeah, sure. Because like, yeah, I'm down to drag.
It's like the answer is basically zero.
And on thank a scale you for listening. It's a short one tonight.
1,000. There's no scientific legitimacy to it.
Okay, okay, okay. Here, I'm going to flip flop McGee over here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, I read. So they were trying to do like a meta analysis, which is going through like a bunch of studies to like essentially, I love meta analysis because when you read them, they like do all the work of finding all the other studies. And there were 220 studies on the Myers-Briggs test, of which only 7 passed the criteria to be put into a meta analysis.
Yes, that's one of the big things is that most studies are done really bad.
And guess who they're done by?
Yeah, is it the Center for Applications of Psychological Type, run and owned by the Myers-Briggs Foundation?
Yes, we're talking full scam, y'all. We're talking like, wait, does your brother know this? Or he's over it?
I think he's over. It was just like a phase.
Okay.
When he was
and at the time, you weren't like, it's a scam. You were like, cool, I am INFP.
Yeah. And like I'm saying, I'm a very open-minded person. And like, I don't know a lot about astrology. I don't know a lot about Myers-Briggs tests. But like, if someone wants to like talk to me about it, I think that's interesting. And I'm totally down to analyze my personality and other people's as well.
So they said that there were 7 that they were able to not have like fully flawed / like problematic paid by Myers-Briggs Foundation. And they were like, there's like reasonable reliability on some of these psychological aspects, but also all of the ones that worked were done on university students. So the fact that like you ever take it outside of that cohort is like not really scientifically valid. And then there was a weird Australian, I'm not going to get into my Australian stuff today, which was like pro Myers-Briggs, but all of a sudden Australia, red flag. Okay, we're moving on. But like, that is like, if we had merch, it would be like Australia, red flag. And it would be like, no one wants to buy this. This is such a ridiculous take. Australia is a gorgeous place where everyone hates me.
And they have the best version of Survivor.
Yeah, they really do. But yeah, they found that it was an effective way of, in their opinion, assessing managers within Australia. Again, they said you cannot even take this outside of Australia. But it wasn't even saying like this person's better at management. This person's it's like, oh, you feel like your job needs a somewhat introverted but creative manager. This will help you like find like it was like this is so getting into the weeds of how ridiculous this is. Because like, how do you even know if that's what you want?
And at that point, wouldn't you be like, well, if I'm interviewing someone, there's other ways to find out if they're creative.
Yeah.
Like, I could look at their previous work. Yeah. I could get them to do something that shows how creative they can be.
Okay, so then that's all the fun things I could find positive. So you can go off on anything negative.
Okay, the quote I have is, psychologists say the questionnaire, Myers-Briggs, is one of the worst personality tests in existence for a wide range of reasons.
Wow.
It is... because your type can change from day to day. So there's like heavy inconsistency. Wow. People on one day might get a completely different result.
Then they don't sleep much and boom, they're an ISFTM.
The criteria were created by somebody who was not an expert in this field, was not a psychologist, was not a psychotherapist or anything like that. So all the categories were just like made off of their intuition and their biases around like what leads to one thing or another. It says there's actually so little research that's modern on this because... so long ago, the field moved on and was like, this is not legitimate. There's lots of research on like other kinds of personality tests. And I'm going to go through one that's like considered scientifically valid.
Wow, Mitch works for that personality
just
foundation.
You wait, no, that one.
He's like, it's called the Mitch Moffitt test.
MMT. In general, like most psychologists consider Myers-Briggs pseudoscience. That's not to say,
wow,
like,
that's so confident, because I was trying really hard to come in and be like, it's valid.
No.
And I couldn't find it.
Of course, like, that's not to say, again, that you can't get things out of it. It's just to say, like, what it can sometimes claim to tell you or others about yourself is inconsistent. And studies aren't able to replicate results. We're not able to, like, categorically show. Of course, Myers-Briggs is able to go, like, look, we gave this company this person or told them this, and then that person, like, got promoted. And that's, like, a lot of the examples is, like, we hired this person who fit the criteria and one who didn't, and the one who was what we were looking for did so well at our business and now has been promoted and promoted and promoted. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's obviously anecdotal evidence of the test being used to success. And I'm not trying to take that away, but overall, science is trying to look at bigger trends and is finding, like, there's no statistical significance to show if you judge someone based on the Myers-Briggs that you can really get much out of that.
It does have scam vibes, though, because people want to be... I wasn't kidding when I was like, it's narcissistic. It's like, you want to do a bunch of things and then have someone tell you, like, this is you. And then you're like, that is me.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, that is fun. When I was even just doing the quick one, I was like, I am ENFP. But then the crazy other bad negative thing was, like, reading about those people who were like, my people will use this to hire. So it's like, it's now a discriminatory
tool.
Practice and tool, because someone filled out some bunk ass survey and then people are like, oh, you're actually not creative or all these things. And it's like, you're like, yeah, I am. But this survey slot. And so people will not hire people based on that, or your work will be like, we're going to pay so that you all can do this thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you get these results and people are like, that doesn't feel like it fits me right. But your employer now thinks it does. And then start structuring your work around this thing where you're like, I actually just said yes to something, like, on a survey. And I, like, don't know if it's changing day to day, if that represents the way I should be managed here. And it's like, that is scary if $2 billion worth of company's money is going into this weird ass thing.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's a mix of company and personal money. But I think, like, at the end of the day, what the science angle of this is saying is, like, these studies, a lot of them, cannot tell you something you don't already know about yourself.
Yeah.
It's basically an input output.
Yeah,
so you're giving it the answers that it's then just going, this is what you are. So it's not like there's, like, some deep secret or something behind your eyes that it's, like, finding out. Like, you are telling it. And that's part of the big problem of some of the tests, not all of them, that there are ambiguous and arbitrary questions. So it'll be like, do you identify with snakes? And then
what?
You have to, I don't know if this is
Taylor Swift popped out.
This is, I don't think this is the Myers-Briggs, but it's an example of a kind of question that then they infer what that means.
Okay,
right?
What could that possibly mean? You're
they're
Slytherin?
Devious. They're devious. I have no idea.
Poor snakes.
But it's not
they're
an
adorable.
Objective measure to say everyone who identifies with snakes has this. That's somebody who made up the test who was like, well, snakes are known to be like the evil serpent.
I actually like did a nature course last spring and was like, okay, so snakes are the cutest. Like, they go underground and freeze through the winter, and then it's like, I was just like, wait, I'm obsessed with snakes, and now I'm not scared. I know. Like, just like, it's like, oh yeah, so this dumb person doesn't even know how a snake works. It's annoying to me that snakes got such a bad rep. Like,
well,
think
thanks
about
to the Bible.
Oh.
I mean, I don't actually know where it started.
What happened in the Bible?
Oh,
I was
Craig,
saying Harry
come on.
Potter.
The devil is represented by the snake in Adam and Eve. Tempted them to eat the apple.
A snake did?
Greg, come on, girl. You got to have a little more cultural competency than this.
Wait. Like a talking snake?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's ridiculous. Are you serious?
You didn't know that?
That's very Jungle Book. That's not the Bible.
Yeah, girl, go to the story of Adam and Eve, and it's like the snake tempts Eve, and of course they blame the woman. They're like, oh, well, she was tempted by the snake and got Adam to eat the apple, and then God kicks them out of, like, the land, gives them, like, this consciousness so they're suddenly aware of, like,
oh,
we're naked.
God.
We have to cover ourselves.
From a snake?
Well, the snake's the devil. It's Lucifer.
Oh, my God. So
who
that,
was an angel who
why,
tried,
like,
to revolt against
is
God.
Is that why, like, in, like, Harry Potter, snakes are bad?
I just think it's the part of... I'm to be honest, I don't know where the original mythology of snakes comes. It probably comes, like, honestly, before Christianity. There's probably other
before our scientific knowledge of how adorable, cute, smart. And it's like, that's what I mean. I'm like, these poor species. I don't want Myers-Briggs to be that dumb if I'm going to listen to him.
Yeah.
The snake thing's getting me really mad for some reason. I need to clarify.
The snake one, I don't know if that's in the Myers-Briggs.
You just made that up.
No. Uh-oh. That was an example of a question from a personality test.
Also, Taylor Swift.
What?
She also made snakes with her reputation and her snaky vibe. It's like, baby, you're contributing your Bible.
Yeah, we got to turn around the image on snakes. I mean, they can really be poisonous.
You just have to truly research them. And obviously, like, yeah, okay, fine. They're poisonous and there's venom also. The snakes, oh, yeah, if venomous. You're in Toronto,
yeah, most of Canada.
They are amazing. And if you see one, you're lucky. And there's so many different, beautiful, interesting types of snakes that we've probably, like when I started bird watching, that we've probably seen in our lives and been like, cool, snake. And it's like, that could have been rare. Yeah. That could have been like an unbelievably, like, not many of them left in the goddamn world, but you're just like, oh, a snake, roll my eyes, or I'm scared. It's like, no, that's a beautiful creature. Again, they go underwater. Underground. I don't know why I didn't think about snakes in winter, but how cool is that? They go like a meter to two meters below the ground in like a perfect sort of like setting of rocks and like moisture, and they semi-freeze, insane. And then in the spring, they come out like as it thaws, they like make their way out of 2 meters below the ground in Toronto and come out. And it's like, hi. It's like a robin in spring if you see a snake.
Cute.
And
you're
so
right.
Put respect on their names. Screw Myers-Briggs. Screw the Bible.
Well, it makes me think.
Screw Taylor Swift.
Obviously, there's something very human. This is making me think of Harry Potter because of like snakes and Slytherin being kind of like the bad house.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people identify with like which Harry Potter house they are. Like
that's personality test.
It is a personality test. And I think it just goes to show people want to, I think it's like people want to find their community. You can like identify with a group and say, and that's obviously really fun. Even when you watch like TikTok videos and you see like this niche thing that weirdly you've thought about or you do, and you're like, whoa, there's like thousands and thousands of people commenting on this that they do this weird thing too.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun to feel like you're part
of. So that's what this is capitalizing on. Honestly, this is BuzzFeed, Gryffindor, which Harry Potter thing are you?
It
it's
is.
Like the
that's
same
what
value.
I'm
yeah.
pretty sure there was a study that posed as Myers-Briggs, but they were using Harry Potter behind actually how to build the test.
Now
just to like show like this was just built off of something else that wasn't Myers-Briggs.
I always feel so dumb because I'm like, I was obsessed with Harry Potter and I read them all. And like when everyone started doing those tests, I was like, how do you even have any comprehension of what a Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff are?
Because there's like...
Because like no one ever
not
talks
a lot.
About it. Yeah, like everyone's always like, oh, you're loyal, like a Hufflepuff. I'm like, that was never said in the book. Or like, I'm like, where did you get that? Like, when in the book do they say that? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, in my head, that movie, or movie, sorry, book, I guess. Anyways, we shouldn't even be talking about this because turfy. But like, I'm like, Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff are never a part of it. But people are always like, I'm
they
Ravenclaw.
Are. I think you probably just forgot that there's like at least some lines about like what the characters from those houses are like. And probably in the early books describing like what those houses represent. Obviously, Gryffindor.
But you know
like
what I mean? Like when
time.
Someone after doing the test is like, yes, I'm Ravenclaw. I'm like, what the fuck?
Because isn't Ravenclaw just like smart and nerdy? And
exactly. Like it's like, when did that get said? It's like, hello, Hermione. Isn't she
true.
Gryffindor? It's like, that's smart and nerdy and she's in Gryffindor.
No, you're right.
To me, I'm like, that's a binary
we could look
book
it up.
About Slytherin and
Gryffindor.
We're
not
Gryffindor.
The biggest, like, best Harry Potter fans, thank God. But I'm sure there's people out there who would be able to yell at us right now being like, you're not...
But
this is
what I'm saying.
Out.
Where are you getting that information, hon?
Greg, there's seven books.
It's from a personality test, I think. It's from like a BuzzFeed personality test. It's like, I've read the 7 books, okay? And I was
but
just...
But you were a child.
But I know, but I was constantly gaslit about Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff. I'm like, well, there's not enough text for us to have a strong opinion on these two.
Okay, can I talk about the one test that seems to survive scientific scrutiny?
Yeah. Like the Mitch Moffat test.
We're going to talk about my test now. No, this is not sponsored.
No, that is cool. I would love to know one.
So this one's called the Big 5 Personality Traits, also known as 5-Factor Model. And what makes it different is when they developed it, instead of creating a criteria based off intuition, they compiled every word that could be considered a personality trait and created like simple, straightforward questions about them. Hmm. For example, on a scale of 1 to 5, okay. Are you outgoing?
Yes.
Are you smart? On a scale of 1 to 5, are you outgoing?
Oh my God. Oh my God. And then, are you smart? Thank God I said no.
No, I just.
Imagine I said yes after you asked me on a scale of 1 to 5. On a scale of 1 to 5, how smart are you? Yes. That's not.
The smart one was my own addition.
No. Okay, start over. Delete that. We don't have an editor.
On a scale of
1 to 5. Yes.
Do you have a forgiving nature?
No, I want to answer the first one.
On a scale of 1 to 5, are you outgoing?
4.
Okay. So you get the idea.
These keep going.
I just only wrote 3 examples.
Well,
down.
I want to do the other
one. On a sociable scale from 1 to 5.
Oh.
How sociable are you?
4.
And how about how much of a forgiving nature do you have? 5 being the most forgiving and 1 being the least.
4. Okay. Am I?
Basic.
Yeah. Wait. Like, am I not?
Anyway.
Does that mean that I'm like, not like I don't have a backbone in me because I keep saying 4?
No.
Or you just chose some that were 4?
Yeah, I'm sure there'd be other ones that are like, how aggressive of a person? I don't actually know all the questions, but I'm sure some would, you'd be like,
2.
Oh, I don't like that. Yeah. Or are you a dominant person? Like, you might not want to.
In the bed, I'm a 1.5.
Okay.
Okay.
So based on their initial studies and surveys, they use statistical methods to group traits together in like clusters. So people that were like talkative or sociable, and they came up with 5 basic categories of extroversion, conscientiousness, agreeableness, neuroticism, and openness to experience.
Those are the 5 you get?
Sort of, Whoa. But no, they just created these categories.
Gotcha.
Ultimately, the reason this test is more liked, it does not claim to tell you anything about yourself. It does not create types. So at the end of it, like in the science like writing I was reading, they're like, it's a little bit of a letdown because you're not like, here's what you are. They basically show you where you fall on a continuum. So based on everyone else that takes these tests, here's where you are on this scale.
Yeah.
So, okay, people in general are this outgoing. You're way more than average, or you're way less than average, or you're right in the middle. So it's like, it's not really saying anything about you other than where you positioned next to other people.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's interesting.
So again, it's not like claiming to tell you something that you don't know about yourself. And that's why I think it is considered like more valid.
Yeah.
And I wrote it down somewhere. So, oh yeah, there's been studies on the Big 5. And these are all correlations, and the Big 5 isn't claiming these, but it's like they have found some things like conscientiousness correlates with longer life. Extroversion correlates with higher sales rep for sales representatives.
Oh, God. Should I have been a goddamn sales rep? I can't think of anything worse I'd want to be.
Also, a lot of people are that. So.
My God. I need to not have a podcast. I think I just offend everyone. Australians, people like Taylor Swift, people who've read the Bible, and now sales reps. No one's going to listen to this.
I think you also don't really know what a sales rep is, because it can mean a lot of things.
I don't know
like,
what a sales rep
is. In your mind, it's just somebody who's like dealing with money. But I, for example, used to be a sales rep at a travel company, and it was just my job to like teach people about our
but
company.
But I'm so good at exaggerating, so that would be good for that.
Yeah, and it's about like having good relationships and trying to get people to buy your companies.
I'm really, really bad at being fake. I would be like, I'm here for my job, but you really shouldn't buy this. You don't need this.
Ultimately, it does come down to like getting
really,
people to buy things.
I'd be a really bad sales rep. Continue.
No, I don't have much more to say other than there are a handful of other tests that maybe fall into that category of like, okay, they've been studied in ways that at least shows there's some usefulness to them.
I really thought you were going to come in hot with like why the like Myers-Briggs was good, because you're kind of Myers-Briggs.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely.
You like love
and like
sometimes sketchy things.
Like what?
No, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes I'm always like, I'm about to lose into a cult. Like, I don't know, whatever the cult is of the time or the like.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't mind like dabbling and like getting something out of it. But I can understand.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about like astrology. And I like love when someone's like, I have tarot cards. You want to do them? I'm like, yeah.
Me too.
Of course I want to do that.
I like got read a tarot card at the beginning of the summer that was like, you deserve the summer of your life. And I was like, okay. And then it just had like the best summer ever. And it was like, whenever I was like, maybe you need to chill out, I was like, the tarot card. It's like, it's so fun. It's like, you're just like giving yourself this like random like excuse to like, for me, have so much fun. But then my other friends was like, your life's so hard right now.
And mine was like, weren't they like, I've never seen this card. It was literally like neuroticism is like what it was called or something. I took a picture of it and it was really scary.
It is scary when they're like really
like, that's the death card.
Yeah, no. But sometimes like people are always like, sometimes it's good. Oh no, yours was Yours wasn't, it wasn't that bad in the end, but it was called something horrible.
I kind of want to find it.
It was like the Three Witches of Death and, or something, but it was like...
No, I think it had to do with neuroticism.
Yeah, but it didn't end up being that bad.
What's that place called that we were in? The birding place?
Long Point.
I'll see if I can find. You talk for a little bit while I look this up. I want to find.
Well, okay. The same day that I got a tarot card pulled for me that I loved and made me have a really fun summer, my friend was like pulled one, and the guy was like, "Okay, here we go," and read the most devastating thing to him, and then he was like, "Okay," and then he was like, "Oh shoot, sorry, that wasn't the one." And then it was like, oh my God, we just had to watch him. And then he was like, okay, that's fine. And then he read him this whole other one that we were like, yeah, okay, that works for you. And then he was like, oh my God, don't kill me, that wasn't the one. And then it was just like, okay, this is bullshit, because every single one you've read were like, yeah, okay, including being like, you're going
to
die.
I think that speaks to the issue of it being easy to like connect to something
and personalize anything, including Myers-Briggs. Like I did it.
Okay. I found
what was it called?
It was called
Gay Guy Sucks.
Schizophrenia.
Whoa.
But then I remember it was like,
no, it wasn't bad. It
says the person on this card can bring a new twist to the old idea of getting stuck between a rock and a hard place. Like it was about this idea of like being between two ideas and confused,
which is
and
totally
lost.
Normal.
I won't read this whole thing, but
no,
I remember thinking like, oh, it was interesting,
but
it
I do
was
think
when I turned over the card Schizophrenia, I was like,
and mine was like flying doves towards joy or something like that. And it was like, oh, you got schizophrenia. But I also think that like people might be mad, but like Myers-Briggs and astrology, like similar vibes.
Yeah.
It's like at least astrology isn't
Myers-Briggs is pretending to be. And you know what? As a science person, this is going to be taboo to say, because I'm not trying to like legitimize anything that doesn't have evidence for it. But like science doesn't know everything. And sometimes there's like, it can be nice to like tap into the side of you that's not quite as analytical. Right?
Yeah, of course. And I do think that like, that is why Myers-Briggs is problematic from what I've read, is people being like, don't tell me this is the way I am in my workplace.
Yeah.
It's like when they start to use them in practical, extreme situations, you're like, no, this could be a fun thing to do with friends and then chat over some drinks about what it's like to be me, which is what astrology kind of is.
It's interesting to like ride on feelings and like tap into something that's not just like trying to calculate everything, and admitting that like as much as we know in science, like there are truly just so many variables, and the way the world works is not as obvious as we sometimes like to pretend it is. And so there can be something nice about feeling like, oh, if I'm being read this card in this moment, maybe there's something about why it's happening right now in time, and not I'm not getting a different card right now. So like, that's interesting to think about.
Also, like I'm reading these things, like the Myers-Briggs, they have more detail when you do it. But for example, ENFP is the one that like I got. It's like enthusiastic, creative, spontaneous, optimistic, supportive, playful, value inspiration, enjoy starting new projects, see potential in others. I'm like, yeah, sure. Then I just go to another one. It's like outgoing, realistic, action oriented, curious. It's like, yeah, sure. Like, it's like, they're all like,
maybe
all of them
all,
are
though.
Like warm, sure, considerate. This is like a completely different one up here. That's including introverted. Warm, considerate, gentle, responsible, pragmatic, thorough, devoted caretakers, and enjoy being helpful to others.
I mean, like some of that might be you, but
no but I could. That. There's days when I'm like, I am those things.
Yeah, fine.
I have days where I'm literally like, I'm a little introverted and I just want to help people.
Yeah. I think that is like, even I used to, when I was younger, like enjoy reading horoscopes. You get your like daily horoscope or something else. And that's another thing where they've shown like, that exactly what you're describing, where people are told, this is your horoscope. Does it feel right? And they go like, yes. And then they go, actually, we lied to you. That was a completely
Which
different
is
person.
So sneaky.
I know. So in general, though, I think like at least for the most part, it's harmless when it's done personally. But because it's such an industry, it is like when it becomes maybe problematic.
And you've never done these. I thought you would have for sure done this.
I've definitely done like little surveys
the
and
blue
stuff
one.
Through the years. I feel like back in like BuzzFeed's heyday, there was probably like a Myers-Briggs version test.
Yeah.
Beyond just like, which Friends character are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, I'm Joey.
But it's like, whatever, that's also fun.
Yeah.
Which Friends character are you? Ross.
Yeah.
Which one am I?
You.
Weird.
Monica.
That is like, I can't think of one that I'm more not. She's so clean.
Oh, I guess you're Rachel then. Ross and Rachel go together.
But like,
I don't know what you are, because part of me would think like you're Phoebe, but she's not like determined and like she's not like, she's free spirited.
I could never play a guitar in a cafe. I would rather blow my brains out.
So who would you be? I guess Chandler is like the goof.
No. R.I.P. R.I.P. No, I'll take Rachel.
I don't know what.
Wait,
like,
I think
Rachel.
I'm not. No, I'm like Gunther. I'm like the like guy in the cafe who's gay and like.
But
no.
He's not gay.
Yeah.
But like,
wait.
What was the deal of that?
Wait, how is Gunther not gay? How is Gunther?
Was that ever addressed in the show?
Because he like loves Rachel. It's like, no, he wants to wear Rachel's panties. Okay.
He wants to be her best friend.
Yeah, like I do think it's like it was such a homophobic show and homophobic time that sadly Gunther was gay, but even at the time they're like, no, he loves Rachel, and it's like this
his
is
sort
so
of
sad.
Gayness was the way they were showing like she would never be with him.
Yeah.
Like that's actually it wasn't like he's actually not gay, but he's effeminate.
And he's
like,
a barista gay. Yeah. He lives in New York, gay. His name's Gunther, gay. Like everything about it was gay, but then it's like, oh my god, he loves Rachel. It's like, wow, that show is older than you think. Mm-hmm. Now Gunther would be such a queer pink haired like the Friends reboot. Like, oh my god, Gunther would be
and
so
be like,
gay.
Gunther, we
love
you.
You.
We support
oh my god,
you no matter
Rachel
what you do.
Rachel actually loves you, Gunther, as a friend. And Gunther would like have like the hottest boyfriend.
And they wouldn't just like absolutely use the lesbian couple as like the punching bag joke.
No.
Or Chandler's like mom who transitioned, like,
yeah,
or follow, I don't know which
they'd
one
have it. A bottle episode about Gunther's queerness. Yeah. It was like all of a sudden, like, it would open the Friends episode and it would be like a little white kid, and you'd be like, who is that? And then, like, the mom would run in and be like, Gunther, and you'd be like, oh my god, a bottle episode about Gunther's childhood.
You're calling it a bottle episode,
isn't that what it's called?
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, I think you're right.
I just remember reading about when
you're
girls...
You're so in the industry.
No, it was like, I remember just like the one time in like girls when it was like that.
Oh yeah,
she like goes to the guy's brownstone, and it's like, it's so.
So
good.
It's called a bottle episode.
Well, I just remember like after that being like, oh, I need to go on BuzzFeed and read about this episode, and then everyone was like, it was a bottle episode, and I was like, what is it? Like it stuck with me.
Yeah, okay.
And I think The Sopranos was probably the first to ever do it.
You have this thing I don't called a memory, so like I probably heard it and then just completely forgot.
But it's not even like it's like it was okay. I guess that is memory, but it's like. It just was an impactful and
term.
It also makes sense.
Yeah.
It's bottled. It's contained.
Oh, I thought it had to do. Okay. That's what.
Oh,
it
wait.
Means.
What did you? Because I'm also dumb.
So thought it was like the shape of the bottle. Somehow.
Okay. So now I think you're
dumb. I'm dumb.
I'm like,
dumb.
Oh, yeah. Bottle episode. Maybe that's why you don't remember things. Because you're like, okay, let me, how can I make this make? How can I connect this in my head?
That's the only way.
The bottle
I
is
remember.
Kind of like Hannah Horvath in a brownstone with a man.
I'm looking up. Why is it called a bottle episode?
I'm scared. It's not even called
the term
that.
Bottle show was coined by Leslie Stevens, creator of The Outer Limits.
Of the what?
For an episode made in very little time at very little cost. As in pulling an episode right out of a bottle like a genie. What? Maybe there's
so am I wrong? No. A bottle episode has to be that. Or
but
am
that
I
makes sense
wrong?
In some way if they're contained in like one building. That makes sense.
Yeah,
like
okay,
those episodes are like they don't go anywhere. Yeah. They stay in one room the whole time.
Yeah.
This says a bottle
we're
episode.
We're side noting, by the way.
refers to a television episode produced with constrained resources, featuring minimal sets, characters, and locations to control cost. The term implies the containment of the story within a figurative bottle. Okay. Oh,
that's
but that's what you
I
said. Limiting external elements. It's because of the shape of the bottle. yeah. Okay. That
I really don't think Girls was doing it out of financial desperation, though.
Yeah, it probably became... Well, but there's artful. Probably times where they make the whole season and they're like, how can we like make a cool episode that's a bottle episode that can cost way less than the other ones?
Yeah, I never thought about
it. There's a budget for like the whole season.
That's all about the money, isn't it?
Well, that's
it?
Why some shows you're like, these three episodes sucked. Like when
bottle?
Yeah, some
bad.
Shows, like even some of the like... Marvel-y and Star Wars ones I've watched, there's times when you're like, they are just spreading this out because they want 10 episodes and it's really annoying.
And I feel bad, but in the Friends reboot, the Gunther gay bottle episode is bad. It's like, oh, like, I just can't imagine what they would even
and Gunther was probably a INF, whatever. I don't know. Like,
Gunther
back
was
to
definitely
personality.
He was introverted.
Okay.
Because it was like, why are you a barista if you are hating and mean to everyone?
You got to be kind of outgoing to be a
That's
barista.
What I'm saying. He wasn't good at it. He was always like,
Oh.
You want your... He was so gay. Oh, yeah.
But no, he was mean to Ross, I thought, because Ross loved Rachel.
They really needed to figure out if he was gay or not, because that doesn't make any sense.
He wasn't gay.
No, but I mean, like,
he was weird to them.
Yeah, it's the 90s. If you're gay, you're weird to them.
No, I know.
Anyways, rest in peace, Chandler, and thank you.
How can we end about personality tests? Like, anything
else? Well, literally, friends is like such a great example. It's like literally with your friends, decide which friends character you are. It's the same as a Myers-Briggs test at this point. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to go any further, you need to do the top five. Because truly, if you're actually going to do the friends test and it to be scientifically accurate, you're going to go, you're a bit Rachel, you're a bit Monica, yeah, you're a bit
here
Chandler,
you are on the scale.
Sometimes you're Ross.
And here you are on a scale of how other people fall into this as well.
And don't pay $50 for a friend, which friends character quiz are you? Because that's what you're doing with Myers-Briggs. But I get why people pay money for this shit. And yeah, kind of like whoever's selling those quizzes, it's more like you're at fault.
Yeah, totally. There's last quote, little quote I'll say. It says, tests developed a century ago might be tough to use for gauging whether an employee will feel fulfilled if she never meets her boss except on Zoom.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So, you know, context in place, and a lot of these have been developed literally 100 years ago.
Yeah.
That's our episode on personality tests.
Okay.
Are they a scam?
Who are we doing next? And by who? That was a weird thing to say. And Mitch and I are going to go have a threesome. Okay.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.